Agenda item number 14, discussion and possible action on freshwater mussel rapid risk assessment by Tiffany Morgan, Environmental Service Manager.
Good afternoon. I'm here to ask to accelerate a project we had planned for 2017. We have a pending endangered species issue in the basin that at this time we don't know if it would be a minor hurdle for us or become a major mountain as a water supplier. This project's goal is to try to wrap our heads around that. Due to some accelerations in the schedule by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is the primary reason why I'm here asking to accelerate a little bit ahead of schedule so that we can stay out in front of it. The freshwater mussels, you heard David speak earlier about zebra mussels, just to make a good idea. This little circle in yellow is a zebra mussel on top of a freshwater mussel. Freshwater mussels are native mussels. They are not invasive. They're naturally occurring. Some of their prime differences from zebra mussels. They are not the prolific breeders that zebra mussels are, so their populations are much smaller. They are dependent on riverine fish or reservoir fish for a stage of their reproductive cycle. They generally prefer soft substrate, so you'll find them in your clays, your muds, your sands, versus the zebra mussels, which David showed you ample examples of them growing on hard structures. So just to give you an idea, we are talking about native species. Right now, the Fish and Wildlife is working on 12 species in the state of Texas that are all freshwater mussels. They've grouped them into four listing packages. Right now, they're working on the Rio Grande package, and that's the package that has accelerated greatly. They have stated their intent afterwards is the Central Texas package, which unfortunately affects us. Two key things that we're hoping to address is that right now, lack of distribution information is considered a negative. We've seen that through the Rio Grande. If they don't know if mussels are there or we're there, they assume that's a bad thing. And that impacts the species risk and its peril status. And so it's really imperative for us, A, to know where they're at. These are the two species that right now we are being impacted by, the smooth pimpleback and the Texas fawn's foot. Unfortunately, through a TxDOT project in the San Gabriel River, we now have to contend with the false spike. The false spike was previously thought to be extinct. But due to some bridge relocations, they have now found them in the Colorado Basin, in the San Saba River, and in the San Gabriel River in our basin. So that's another species out there pending. This is just a map showing you the distribution of the different types. Smooth pimpleback, we have fairly wide distribution across the basin. Fawn's foot primarily in the lower portion of the basin, and that's where they found that false spike. What you'll notice is the Navasota really hasn't had much assessment, and neither has the upper basin below our reservoirs. So that's one of the things we want to look at as we move forward. Like I said, their U.S. Fish and Wildlife is working on the Texas horn shell right now, which is going to give us probably a pretty good indicator of how our mussels will be viewed. Right now, the tone of the species status assessment, which is the next step before they determine whether to list the species as endangered or not, indicates to me that they're probably going to go with an imperiled and endangered decision on those mussels in the Rio Grande. And they have indicated that critical habitat will be specified for those mussels and all mussels that they consider throughout, which gives them a bigger hook into, after the listing, being able to control and protect those species. In the past, they used to list them as endangered, and then the critical habitat listing was an option. They've stated for all these mussels, they will push forward with declaring critical habitat. Some of the unknowns that haven't been addressed in the Rio Grande package that we don't know, but we hope to wrap our heads around, is how will the Senate Bill 3 and stream flow standards factor into it? There was no mention of that in the species status assessment in the Rio Grande. Those should be protective and improve survivability of endangered mussels. How much impact will projects on the regional plans have to their determination of an imperiled status? They played a very strong role in the Rio Grande species status assessment. A new reservoir project was considered an imminent threat. The other question that's not answered and we've asked and not really gotten much of an answer is, generally you have to have a federal nexus for those, which means you take money. we don't know what they're going to do with our core reservoirs, and are those going to be considered a federal nexus? Our BRA lakes, too. There have been issues in other states where people have had to flow water at times to help support nothing more than the survivability of mussels. So trying to grasp what is our real risk if these things become endangered. Right now, the anticipated listing schedule for our mussels, they have accelerated the Texas horn shell and are now going to finish, hopefully, in September 2016. That's about a year ahead of schedule. We anticipate they'll probably take a break to deal with the fall spike to add it to the Central Texas Mussel Group. And that should take about a year, and we are estimating that we'll have a final decision on the Central Texas Mussel Group from U.S. Fish and Wildlife by early 2019. What we're proposing in a rapid risk assessment is to really understand what does an endangered listing of those mussels mean to the BRA. Try to identify and characterize, do we have mussels below our reservoirs in the Navasota and the Brazos River between Possum Kingdom and Waco that we could potentially impact? Understand the potential impacts. What does that mean to Brad and his operations and his ability to move water around the basin as he needs to? And if there are operational impacts, what does that mean to us financially? And then try to identify options for mitigating those impacts. There are several permitting opportunities available. What we'll plan to do at the conclusion of this project is probably bring a list of options back to you and cost estimates. They range from a minor permit to some major projects as far as our options to protect us from an endangered listing. We're going to work with the Texas A&M Institute of Renewable Natural Resources. They not only have a malacologist, which are mussel specialists, on staff that can survey our streams, but they also specialize in trying to do outreach efforts in policy areas and bring collaboration to the table and work with Fish and Wildlife. They have experience doing that to try to feel them out, negotiate what we can and can't do, and get a better idea for what those impacts will be to us if they are endangered. I'd say it's highly likely at least two of the three species in our basin will probably be endangered. So I have a resolution, unless there's any questions.
Yeah, I'd like to know why we want
to help this. It sounds like to me this would be an impediment to everything that we're doing.
We're trying to get ahead of it so that we understand what that it absolutely could be an impediment, but it's an impediment if we let it happen. We have no control over the process. If we can assess our basin and figure out, A, that we have some more mussels, that makes it stronger that those mussels aren't endangered. The more populations you find, the less likely they will be considered to be imperiled. Also, we want to, if there's a chance, if we can get in ahead of the schedule and negotiate a candidate conservation agreement with assurances. That's essentially an agreement with Fish and Wildlife. Hopefully our existing operations are already such that they are reasonably protective of the mussels. Brad's usually flowing water in periods of low flow. We have Senate Bill 3 in-stream flow requirements that we're going to be required to meet. Hopefully we can go in and through our base operations secure that CCAA permit, which then protects us after the fact if those mussels get listed as endangered.
How?
It's an agreement with us and Fish and Wildlife that we will commit to certain conservation strategies. Like I said, hopefully what we're already doing will be sufficient for that. Mm-hmm. And then through that permit opportunity in that agreement, they can't come back. That is part of their federal permit process after the fact if they list them as endangered and change that agreement, if we can qualify for it. Our other options would be if we wait till after the fact, we'd probably have to try to get an incidental take permit with a habitat conservation agreement, which those can be rather burdensome and expensive to pursue, but that would then protect us from, if we have a bad drought and dry up the Navasota River and kill endangered mussels, they can come after us for a take of an endangered species under federal regulations. So it's trying to set up and analyze what are our options, what would be the best option to protect the BRA going forward from this potential listing.
Okay. This is a defensive move, then, is what it is?
Pretty much.
Would it cost that much money?
The mussels, it depends on the species.
They don't have a date.
Usually about yet big.
And we don't get the date.
I've found them for years in the tank.
Yeah.
Are
they edible?
Yes, and they are used by wildlife as a food supply.
But on the bad mussels, the ones
that don't... Zebra mussels.
Zebra mussels.
No, they're not protected.
Prey or
no host that'll...
They won't protect them.
No.
Don't knock them in the head.
We have not found a sufficient predator for zebra mussels yet.
Oh, okay. I understand exactly what you're doing. I mean,
I do too.
We have these, I mean, they're after our salamanders, which are just, they're shooting out of our springs everywhere right now.
Mm-hmm.
They listed them as...
Yeah, they're
endangered?
Yes, they listed them as endangered.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no rhyme or reason. Their motives don't...
That's what I'm thinking.
The mission of their agency doesn't seem to be benefiting by what they're trying to do. So, this is just...
Why should we help them?
Because that law is written so broadly.
It is the most powerful piece of environmental legislation that there is, and it has almost universally won in federal court.
And so then at those levels, they're successful. At the very least, they delay your projects for perpetuity.
Yeah.
And it's... It's a horrible situation. Needs to be dealt with at a federal level. This is just horrible overreach. Protect yourself best you can, because they're not going to stop.
That's what we're trying to do. We're not really trying to assist U.S. Fish and Wildlife in any way, shape, or form. We're trying to figure out what we need to do to protect the BRA's operations and our financial stability. Talking to some of the wildlife specialists in Georgia for the state of Georgia who've been dealing with this a lot longer, they said the mussels really don't impact their day-to-day operations until they reach a period of drought. Then it becomes a problem for them. Whether we can use that as a good guidepost or not, I don't know, because we're a lot drier than Georgia is. They are also involved in several interstate compacts for water supply between Florida, Alabama, Georgia. Said when they get into periods of drought, that relationship becomes very contentious because of the endangered species issues, because all three states have endangered mussels. So all we're trying to do here is try to get a handle on what could this mean for us, and is there a way for us to try to protect the BRA's operations?
Because when you have to tell Lake Whitney that you're releasing flow to save mussels downstream, that's going to be a PR nightmare.
Okay.
Which, I mean, that's what they're going to put you in a position to do.
And it's a very real potential in our future if these critters become endangered.
And do we have, they have the data already to declare them endangered, or would this assist them in that?
They will use whatever data they have available.
Okay.
It's not always good.
So and it will limited. Become, the more data we can provide them to try to prove that we have ample and sufficient populations and that they're not imperiled, the better. They will look at lack of data. They will just take what they have. So if they have one person went out, I didn't see them. Okay, they're endangered. Now, they are in the process of stiffening that process up to make it more difficult, but we're not quite there yet. So the more data we can provide, we're fortunate the smooth pimpleback is also in the Colorado Basin. They're doing some similar studies. So between the two of us, that might be one that we have a chance of not having listed as endangered. Fawn's foot's pretty rare. I'm going to guess he's going to be endangered. The false bite, only known in two rivers in Texas in two places. He meets right now the current requirements for the endangered species listing. So trying to figure out what, through existing Fish and Wildlife Service permitting options, we can begin to do now, hopefully ahead of the listing, that would protect us, or at least be aware of what's coming at us and what are our options. Do we have to wait till they're listed? That puts us in a much less advantageous negotiating platform.
It's difficult.
Your resolution says not to exceed $50,000. Is there any chance it would be less than that?
That's just for this year. It's actually the overall for the study would be $425,000.
Whoa.
Who does the study?
It will be the group out of A&M, the Institute for Renewable Natural Resources. About half of that is the stream surveys of the Navasota and the Brazos from Waco to PK. Right now, we have very little knowledge of what's downstream of our own reservoirs. That requires essentially scuba diving of those segments.
I think that's cheap.
Looking for
what they can do to us.
For it, and the other half would be for assessing our operations. They'll come in, they're going to work with Brad's staff. How do we operate things? The water management plan we developed through SysOp should be a positive look at Senate Bill 3 rules. Start some initial outreach with Fish and Wildlife Service of what do they need to see in a CCAA agreement that would be the most protective thing that we can get ahead of time. Try to start feeling them out about what the expenses would be on the different permitting options that we'd have available.
Like the one that was a false mussel was in that one spot? Were they limited to that tributary of the Brazos?
That false spike, it was only, so far it's only been found in two locations in the state. It was in the San Gabriel.
But I mean, would they limit it to a certain reach, or would they just go in and say, okay, we found it in this one spot, and now we're going to list?
Hopefully they would.
All the way down?
They have the ability to. I think that would be unlikely because they are so limited. I would hope that they would limit it just to the San Gabriel.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's in one of our highest water need areas. So anything that restricts the needs and the abilities to move water around Williamson County and Milam County could be detrimental to us. Smooth Pimple Back, I think that one's our best chance for maybe not having endangered the false. Let me go back to that map. Where the fawn's foot is too, and there's Smooth Pimple Back mixed in here. They just kind of overlap on top of each other. Mm-hmm. That's right where Allen's Creek is fixing to go too. Yeah. So it has a potential to impact our new reservoir. So hopefully by doing this, we can protect our operations moving forward.
You want to read the resolution, please?
Okay. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes and approves amending the fiscal year 2016 budget in an amount not to exceed $50,000 to accelerate work on the freshwater mussel rapid risk assessment. Be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to enter into an interlocal agreement with the Texas A&M Institute of Renewable Natural Resources, IRNR, for a 2.5-year project for an amount not to exceed $425,000, which includes limiting the indirect cost rate to 28% to perform risk analysis for the freshwater mussel rapid risk assessment project.
You've heard the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt?
Moved.
Second?
Second.
Yeah. Got him. Please poll the board.
President Officer Scott?
Abstain.
Director Ball?
No.
Director Bell?
No.
Director Adams?
Yes.
Director Bennis?
Yes.
Director Bowles?
Yes.
Director Christensen?
Yes.
Director Christian?
Yes.
Director Flores?
Yes.
Director Huber?
Yes.
Director Johnson?
No.
Director Hillmore?
Yes.
Director Luton?
Yes.
Director Masterson?
Yes.
Director Munson?
Yes.
Director Rankin?
Yes.
Director Smith?
Yes.
Director Tallis?
Yes.
Director Taylor?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Cardino?
Yes.